two people shot in front of an engine manufacturing plant, and also just a few miles away, a juvenile beaten to death. Investigators are on scene.
In the last hour, the so-called Parents' Bill of Rights passes in the state Senate. How the votes played out and what comes next for your child's classroom. Security is the number one priority for tonight's Wake County School Board meeting. The specifics being talked about right now to keep kids safer.
It's a spring takeover when temperatures reach near record highs and the wet conditions on the way.
In the last hour, a bill moved forward that decides what teachers are able to discuss with your children and what students are able to talk about privately with their teachers. Thank you for joining us. I'm Gerald Owens.
And I'm Deborah Morgan. The state Senate has now passed its first bill of the session, which lawmakers call the Parents' Bill of Rights.
Now, this is how the votes played out along party lines. Remember, Republicans hold a majority in both the Senate and the House. Two Democrats and one Republican did not vote.
WRL's Capitol Bureau Chief Laura Leslie is live now with what lawmakers debated before calling for the vote. Laura.
Deb, this is the first substantive bill either chamber has passed in this new session, and critics of the bill said it sends the wrong message about the state's priorities when it comes to education. But supporters of the bill said there is nothing more important than making sure that parents are fully aware of what their children are doing and learning in school.
Bill sponsor Senator Amy Gailey said teachers should be required to tell parents if their child is using a different name or gender because it's an essential part of the child's life, whether or not the child consents to the notification. Otherwise, she said, schools are keeping secrets from parents.
Parents are the primary decision makers with respect to their minor children, not their school or even the children themselves.
Advocates for the LGBTQ community say that could put children at risk at home if their parents aren't accepting, and that could discourage LGBTQ students who are at higher risk of suicide from talking to anyone about it for fear of their parents will be told.
We all want to solve problems for our constituents, but first, we should do no harm. This bill does harm. Full stop.
That's Senator Lisa Grafstein, the only openly LGBTQ person in the state Senate. She talked about her own process of coming out and the importance that being able to confide in a trusted teacher can play in a student's life.
We can't legislate the quality of family relationships. And we can't legislate away the fact that sometimes young people need to think and talk things out with someone other than their parents.
But Gailey said that relationship is not private and that the teacher's first duty is to the parents, not the child.
Confidential relationships do not exist between minor children and government employees. The public schools are government schools run by government employees. And we must not embrace a mindset that considers there to be a confidential relationship.
Well, the next step for this bill is the State House. If State House lawmakers agree to pass it, it could be on the governor's desk as soon as next week. However, State House lawmakers have said they're likely to prefer to pass a version of their own bill. And that means it will likely be a long time before this bill makes too much more progress. Back to you.
We'll see what happens next. Laura Leslie reporting live in Raleigh. Thank you, Laura. In the last 2 hours, the Raleigh city manager announced authorities could release body camera footage from the death of a man in Raleigh police custody.
If we are granted permission through the Superior Court, we will release that body cam footage on Friday. That is our tentative plan, and hopefully from there, we will be able to show what we've seen.
As you heard her say, the city would release the video if the court approves it be released. Last month, officers used a taser on Darrell Williams several times before he died. They say Williams resisted arrest and ran from police after officers saw drugs and alcohol in his car. Williams' family is calling for all officers involved in his death to be fired.
Right now, Wake County School Board leaders are discussing how to step up security. Just a few days ago, these six schools were put on lockdown after receiving threats. WRO's Aaron Thomas is live outside that meeting in Cary with what school leaders say the district needs to do. Aaron?
Well, Jared, one new change that families can look forward to as early as next school year. We're talking about a new uniform background check system. This would flag visitors for certain criminal offenses as well as restraining orders. This is all according to the district's director of security, and it's one of several options on the table.
Safety and security, front and center at tonight's school board meeting in Wake County. The state's largest school district still reeling from a series of threats, prompting lockdowns at six schools in one day.
These lockdowns are very traumatic, and we have to take each one extremely seriously.
Board member Chris Hagerty joined in virtually with one option. He's interested in asking General Assembly to strengthen laws to address and track school threats.
The day that we get jaded, the day that we think, oh, it's another fake threat, I mean, could be catastrophic.
We do have an anonymous hotline for information.
A call line is an option to report such threats in the school district, but Russ Smith, senior director of security for Wake Schools, mentioned the state's contracted Say Something program. It's like an app rather than a phone line. These leaders say community involvement is key in tackling these threats.
We want to make sure that we're addressing all concerns, and you never really know until you drill down in and start conducting an investigation.
Yeah, safety is certainly one topic that the school board is taking very seriously. In fact, they're meeting right now, and in the next few minutes, they're actually supposed to be hearing a presentation about promoting gun safety. I will be back with the live report at 7 after going back and hearing the latest from school board members. Gerald?
We look forward to that update. Aaron Thomas, live in Cary. Thank you.
Now we are following some breaking news. The Nash County Sheriff is responding to a shooting in Whitakers. WRL's Keenan Willard is live on the scene now with what we know. Keenan?
Well, we're actually about 3 miles from the scene where the actual shooting happened, but you can see this very active police presence behind me. That's because this played out over multiple miles of highway stretching down here to the Brattleboro area. Here's what we know so far. Two people confirmed shot at that Cummins plant 3 miles down the road in the town of Whitakers. According to Rocky Mount Police, they tell me that a argument broke out between two co-workers. Gunshots rang out. Two men were wounded. One stayed there in grave condition at the plant about 3 miles again down the road. The other one got in a car and drove to this point right next to a gas station in the area north of Rocky Mount called Brattleboro. That person was shot multiple times but was still alert and awake when he was taken to the hospital. We don't have a full condition update on either of these men right now. All we know is they are being treated for multiple gunshot wounds. They are still continuing this investigation and trying to figure out what exactly led to this conflict breaking out. We are going to be here on the scene for the next few hours as this develops, and any more information that we bring will come both on air and online. Deborah.
Keep us updated. Keenan Willard live. Thank you so much, Keenan. Now Mark Boyle is in the WRL Live Center following another breaking story. Mark?
Deborah, about 25 miles southwest of where Keenan is, still staying in Nash County. He was up here, so you go down through Rocky Mountain off to the left here. Off of Dutchman Road, investigators with the Nash County Sheriff's Department confirming a juvenile was beaten to death at that location. No suspects in custody, according to the detective who just gave us a call about 15 minutes ago. They are currently on scene trying to figure out how all of this unfolded. I did ask about the age range for that juvenile. They're not ready to release that information or the circumstances around this juvenile who was beaten to death here this evening. A very busy night in Nash County. We're on both scenes. Hello. And we'll monitor for this here in the live center. Back to you.
All right, Mark, thank you. This comes just hours after police in Henderson say two men were found shot dead in a car on Golson Avenue this morning. New surveillance video shows a neighbor gave WRL shows two people running away from the scene. Investigators say it appears the men were shot from inside the car. Mayor there says police are looking at whether this incident was connected to another shooting. Authorities have not yet announced any suspects.
Police in Durham need your help to find a hit-and-run driver. Just before 5 a.m., police were called to the intersection of Fayetteville Street and Linwood Avenue, where they found the victim. That person was taken to the hospital with serious injuries. The suspect's car is described as a white SUV, possibly a Lexus RX. If you have any information about this case, contact Durham Police.
State Auditor Beth Wood was a no-show in person for the first Council of State meeting since news broke of a hit-and-run crash involving her state-issued car. Wood joined the meeting via video chat. She appeared to be in her office a block away from where Governor Roy Cooper and the state's top elected officials met this morning. Wood did not address the December crash, which she says happened after she left a holiday gathering in downtown Raleigh. Wood and her attorney have not answered questions from WRL about whether she was drinking that night. Today, the governor declined to comment on whether Wood should be more transparent.
A push for more affordable housing in Raleigh could gain some traction tonight. The city council is meeting to consider nearly $3.5 million in funding for new affordable rental housing. The money would also go toward upgrading existing units. At tonight's meeting, city staff will give council members an update on the homelessness prevention and diversion program. That meeting begins at 7 o'clock. 300 new jobs are coming to Durham County. ChemPower, which makes charging stations for electric vehicles, is building a new facility in the area. The company plans to invest $41 million into the project. ChemPower says the average salary for the jobs will be about $88,000. It plans to start making charging stations in North Carolina this year.
Coming up, at one time or another, we've all had a parking ticket. Now Durham County is out thousands of dollars because people have not paid them. How the county is trying to make the money back, just ahead. Mike?
Deb, a ridge of high pressure is bringing a warmer weather pattern with above normal temperatures that are likely going to last through Friday. And then we're back to a wetter weather pattern. I'll show you how it evolves and how long that'll last coming up.
Right now, the race against time to find earthquake survivors in Turkey and Syria, where more than 7,000 are confirmed dead. And new warnings about potential dangers from lithium-ion batteries. What you should know when we see you here for Nightly News.
You are looking live at Lewisburg and watching WRAL News, available on YouTube TV and the WRAL app on your TV or streaming device.
North Carolina teachers make up 18% of all educators in the country with a national certification. Wake County is second in the country when it comes to the number of new teachers certified by the National Board for Professional Teaching, with 85. About 23% of teachers in this state are certified. The state superintendent said these numbers are testament to high-quality teaching in schools in North Carolina. There is a virtual town hall tonight to bring awareness to HIV and AIDS. The state DHHS is hosting the event, hoping to share new ways for people to get tested and treated for the virus. The North Carolina AIDS Action Network and health officials in Mecklenburg County will also be there to answer questions. The event starts at 7 o'clock.
Right now, you can help plan what will soon become a new front door for the town of Clayton. The town's Gateway 42 project is looking at enhancing the area around the intersection of Highway 42 and Highway 70. Gateway 42 is a 10 to 20 year plan. And tonight, people who live and work in Clayton have the chance to talk about what they want to see in the area. Right now, the town is holding a meeting to hear from the community at the Clayton Community Center.
We are less than 3 hours away from President Biden's State of the Union address. When he does speak, a student from Elizabeth City State University will be there. Althea Hudson is a junior aviation science major, and she is a special invited guest of Congressman Don Davis. You can watch the president's speech tonight right here on WRAL at 9 p.m. Morrisville officially has a new fire chief. In the last 2 hours, the city swore in Nathan Lazinski. He took over the role at the beginning of the year. He's been with the department for all of his 16-year career. He most recently was a deputy chief. Congratulations to him. Yeah. Mike Mays in the WRAL Severe Weather Center. Mike, today is the kind of day that this is why people move to North Carolina.
Exactly. And a lot of people probably didn't want to go into work today because it was so comfortable outside. 66 was the high. If you enjoyed today, you're probably going to enjoy tomorrow even better. We're now anticipating 72 for the high tomorrow with partly cloudy skies. So it should look exactly like it did today, but a little warmer feel. 75 is the record high tomorrow added at RDUSA back in 2019. So we could come close to a record. It's possible we could go to 73 if there's enough sunshine, and still forecasting 72 on Thursday with an overcast. 74 is the old record set back in 1994. So two warm days. Friday's warm, but we have an 80% chance of rain. So make sure you get out tomorrow and Thursday before Friday comes along. And now Saturday and Sunday appear wet. There's been an adjustment in the models showing the upper level system coming in over the weekend, slowing down and perhaps developing an area of low pressure off our coast that will keep rain in the forecast Saturday night and also on Sunday. We'll talk more about that with Futurecast coming up. But check out the glorious sunset over North Hills. Hope you're outside or have been outside to see that sunset. Looking pretty good in North Hills. It's mild, 60 right now at the airport, after 66 for our high today, 59 in Fayetteville, 55 at Roxborough, 55 at South Hill. Walking the dog this evening will be a pleasant experience. 60 right now, 57 at 7 by 8 o'clock, about 54. So maybe a light jacket, and it's partly cloudy. So let's talk about what's coming up this weekend. We told you yesterday about upper level system that would pass north and west of us, bringing us a 20% chance of rain on Thursday. That looks like it's still on tap. Overcast on Thursday, a high temperature in the low 70s. It's windy as well. Now, we showed you last night that this upper level trough for the weekend would be progressive and move completely through. Well, now it's slowing down. We may get a little bit of a cutoff low developing, an upper level low that will help develop energy off the coast and develop into an area of low pressure. Now, the big question about what's coming up this weekend, models are disagreeing on what type of precipitation. They're both agreeing
worrying that we'll see this develop with an upper level low and a surface low offshore. This is the European solution, showing some snow in the mountains and generally just rain here. But if it's cold enough aloft, we could see some of this being generated as snow come Saturday night and Sunday morning. That's something we're going to watch out for. We've got many more model runs to come through to see if this trend holds, but that's the way it's looking right now. So keep checking back. Just want to let you know, in case that snow icon shows up on your phone, you know what I'm talking about, the weather app. So not as cold tonight. Lows will be in the 40s instead of the 30s. 43 here in Raleigh. It's partly cloudy. Partly cloudy tomorrow. 72 for us in Raleigh. 72 Fayetteville. 69 Roxborough. 71 at Rocky Mount. So we have three more days of mild weather. Then it cools down. Rain is likely Saturday and Sunday. Our high temperature on Sunday, 49. And Monday and Tuesday of next week, Gerald, back in the 60s once again. And Valentine's Day looks good.
So if we see a couple of flakes of snow, we shouldn't be worried at all, right, Mike?
No, not whatsoever. There's agreement on the models developing precipitation for Saturday and also into Sunday. You just need enough cold air to generate that. And we just saw a new run come in from the American model. It's actually backing off of any kind of wintry precipitation. So it's a day to watch. But right now, we don't have enough evidence to suggest that it would be wintry. So that's why right now we're just keeping it with rain.
All right, Mike, thank you. Mm-hmm. Sports is up next. Duke lost to Miami last night. We'll tell you how UNC fared after the Battle of the Blues. Pat Welter will join us live from Winston-Salem to preview the Tar Heels taking on Wake Forest. What the team needs to do to avoid losing their third straight game. Sports is next.
People are not paying their parking tickets in Durham, and it's costing the city a lot of money. City leaders are trying to figure out what to do about the issue, as they're owed nearly $700,000 for unpaid citations. WRL's Durham reporter Sarah Kruger shares what staff is proposing to do about it.
Parking on the street in downtown Durham will cost you $2.50 an hour. If you don't pay here, you could get one of these, which will run you $30. Thing is, thousands of people are getting these and just not paying them.
The sinking feeling of coming back to your car and finding the green paper on your windshield. The parking enforcement workers are always busy in downtown Durham.
Have you ever gotten a parking ticket in Durham?
No, I haven't. I pay for my parking. What can I say?
A lot of people don't, though. And then they don't pay for the citations either. A new report City Council will receive this week shows more than a third of the parking tickets issued in the city since 2020 have not been paid. That's roughly 50,000 tickets. Nearly all of them are at least 3 months old. In total, that means the city is owed roughly $683,000.
That's a lot of money, and people should pay their tickets. But there are also situations where people just can't pay. So I think increasing, you know, transportation and allowing people to have those methods that they don't have to pay for parking.
I definitely thought there was some type of system in place that, you know, held people accountable for paying for their parking.
According to the report, city staff thinks it can improve in that area too, acknowledging a robust collections process does not exist for collections of outstanding balances. It's looking into how to hold people accountable. Some hope ethics alone can motivate them to change their ways.
And if you pay for parking, if the parking is paid, you should pay it. You know, it's the right thing to do.
One recommendation that came out of the report is the possibility of using a collection agency to get people to pay up. Sarah Kruger, WRAL News, Durham.
That's a lot of cash. They're going to figure out a way. Chris Lee joining us now with what's happening in sports tonight. Boy, the Tar Heels definitely will be a big game tonight.
Oh, it definitely will be. We've been waiting for UNC to find their final form, and it's February 7th, and they're starting to run out of time. After losses to Duke and Pitt, the Tar Heels are hitting a pivotal point of their season, and it starts tonight at Wake Forest. Pat Welter joins us live from Winston-Salem. Pat, what do the Heels need to do tonight to avoid losing three straight?
You know, Chris, we could talk about energy, effort, their chemistry, but those things tend to look a whole lot better when the ball is going through the net, and the Tar Heels just have not shot the ball well this season, especially the last few games. They're 14th in the ACC this year in three-point shooting percentage. That's allowing defenses to sag off their defenders, pack the paint. It's making it life really difficult for Mondo Bacot down low. It's making it hard for their guards like Caleb Love and RJ Davis to drive. Now, Leaky Black did step up, hit some big wide-open threes versus Duke, but Pete Nance was 0-for-5 from deep as a team. They just got to be better.
at the end of the day, from three, we've had some wide open looks, especially the last two games, and we just haven't hit them. And so at the end of the day, you know, we make one or two threes in Pitt, one, two threes against Duke, and it's a whole different story. And so with the open shots, I encourage those guys to shoot open shots, and we're just, at the end of the day, we're just going to have to make them.
So this series has been...
Now, if you're trying to find your shooting form, Wake Forest might not be a bad place to start, with Demon Deacons in the bottom third of the conference in points allowed and opponent shooting percentage. Plus, I was here a couple weeks ago when DJ Burns from NC State absolutely dominated them down low. That could bode well for Armando Bacot, Chris.
Absolutely. Pat Walter joining us live from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Thank you so much. San Francisco took Christian McCaffrey from us. Now they've taken Steve Wilks, the former Carolina Panthers interim head coach, will reportedly trade in his keep pounding for Bang Bang Niner Gang after being named the new defensive coordinator for the Niners. The 49ers' last two defensive coordinators ended up becoming head coaches after their time in the Bay. Robert Saleh is currently with the New York Jets, and D'Amico Ryans just recently took a job with the Houston Texans. Super Bowl 57 is this Sunday. You can watch it on Fox 50. Don't miss this game. It's huge. The Kansas City Chiefs taking on the Philadelphia Eagles from Glendale, Arizona. The game will begin at 6:30, but you can turn to the channel a lot earlier than that to have all the coverage you need starting at 11:30 a.m. I think I'm going to go with the Eagles. I think I'm pretty set on that right now. What about you guys?
I think that's a popular pick.
They've
had a great year.
You know, I haven't decided yet.
Okay. That doesn't mean we want them to win.
Yeah,
that's
just
who we think is going to win.
This is logically who I think is going to win.
Be an answer is kind of where
can
I'm going
this year.
Can they
both lose?
Thanks, Chris.
All right, thank you for watching. We're just minutes away from NBC Nightly News. Tonight, Lester Holt will anchor live from Washington with details about President Biden's State of the Union address, the president's challenges, and key moments you'll want to watch.
Tonight at 7, three people were shot during a deadly home invasion. Only on WREL, a mother who was inside at the time describes the moment her son was hit. We'll see you at 7.